The Netball Show with Flyhawk from the Birmingham 2022 Commonwealth Games.
Didn't expect it, but I was very pleased to get the phone call and thrilled, absolutely thrilled. I think for those that have followed my commentary, they'll know that it's my absolute passion. I love it dearly. I love being able to get in the seat and kind of control the passion and emotion of the game and tell the story and bring entertainment to our product over and beyond what we see as pure athleticism and skill on the court. So thrilled to be able to do that. I'm really excited because, you know, I don't think that the Commonwealth Games is a given for any country. And, you know, excited to see the talent of a number of the countries. And I'll be alongside Catherine Cox. So, you know, I get to jump back in the seat with one of my good mates. And, yeah, we'll be really enjoying, you know, one of the major events. It's a thrill to be able to play in it, and I'm thrilled to be able to commentate it.
Do you think Australia should be threatened by the Ferns, considering, I mean, they've lost a number of key players to injury and pregnancy?
I had a conversation with Stacey Marinkovic just yesterday. It was quite interesting. And I said,
well, are we
there? I said, Stace, do you think that the Silver Ferns are flying under the radar? And she said, oh, well, I think they'd like that. I think that's the way Nolene's probably preparing the Ferns at the moment as they head away. But, I mean, you know, publicly we know that they're probably not footing the best team that they have. But sometimes that doesn't hurt, you know, the underdog nature, don't take us for fools kind of approach, you know, that can hurt some teams. So I think Nolene's a mastermind, you know, I think she's exceptionally capable and she's done very well publicly taking pressure off the Silver Ferns. And of course, if they don't perform, she's probably set the framework. And if they do perform, well, you can put that down to some of her mastery in alleviating pressure early. So look, I think the Silver Ferns are going to be a threat no matter what. But I still believe Australia will be right up there come gold medal day.
Jamaica and Trinidad and Tobago will certainly bring that flair, won't they? Similar to the World Cup.
Yeah, look, Trinidad's interesting. Sue Hawkins, former England coach, she's actually over doing a little bit of work with them at the moment. And, you know, we just saw their list announced recently, some fresh faces coming through. And I think Trinidad will be looking to try and improve, you know, more consistently. I feel like that's where a country like Trinidad and Tobago and even Jamaica to some extent have fallen short over the years is, you know, we see these great games and there's this flair every once in a while or, you know, but we don't necessarily see that back-to-back consistency that maybe we get from Australia or a South Africa. So, but I've got to be honest, you know, again, as every year you worry about the Jamaicans, but I don't think they have I've never seen a better list than what I have of this list of the Jamaican team heading into the Commonwealth Games. They are more than capable. Connie Francis, their coach, has recruited Rob Wright, who was the former New South Wales Swifts coach. He's been over in New Zealand with the Mystics working as an assistant coach there and has his feet planted in Kingston, Jamaica at the moment, working with the team. And, of course, obviously, you know, I do a bit of work with Janelle Fowler and I spoke to her about Rob and she just said she's really excited. She thinks that you know, he will be very valuable to the Jamaican line. So I think consistency is the key for Jamaica. But if they can get where they need to get and bring their A game on the right day, they can easily walk away with a gold medal. No two ways about it. But it would have to be a very consistent Commonwealth Games for them, and I don't believe they've shown that before.
I don't know how much, whether or not you've seen Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland. Obviously, Scotland being led by Clebb, you would know some of the qualities that she has.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, I spent some time over with the Scottish side for your Super League and with Karen Atkinson, and I know with Tamsin being appointed, Sarah Francis-Bayman in as assistant coach. Good to see Lindsay Gallagher back. And I'm actually really excited to see the Scottish Sisters. I think they'll be a really well-structured side this year. And whilst I'm not sure that they'll get the ultimate results they're chasing because Tamsin hasn't been with them long. I've got no doubt by World Cup next year, they will be a vastly improved side. Emily Nicol, I'm a big fan of, and, you know, we're hoping to have her out working with us for a period of time with the Fever as just a bit of an extension program for the Scottish Thistles later this year, so that'll be exciting. And as for Wales, well, a good mate of mine, Sarah Hale, coaching them, and, you know, we've been sort of connecting back and forth randomly, and I'm looking forward to seeing what she can do. And Northern Ireland, well, you know, I mean, Dan Ryan's had a fair bit to do with them over the time. And, you look, he said it's been a tough battle in trying to get sort of some sort of level of professionalism into that environment. But hopefully, they've been able to do that, and just excited to see what these countries can do. I think, again, we are going to be looking at a Commonwealth Games that has a standard, not only that is vastly improved, but I feel like the gaps between our countries are decreasing every major tournament.
We've already spoken to Lindsay, and we'll be hearing from her in the next couple of weeks on the podcast. She's just really delighted to be back and being able to contribute.
Yeah, look, you know, I mean, I followed her injury. I messaged her as soon as she was injured, and, you know, I've stayed sort of connected, you know, in a small way. And you know, the first person I spoke to was Sarah Francis-Bayman, the assistant coach, and I said, will Linz get back in time for this Games? And she was really hopeful. So when she was announced, I just think she brings great flair, real enthusiasm, experience into that front line for them. And, you know, I mean, you want to take away your best. And so, yeah, rap for her. I think she's a great human being, a great character, and excited to see what she can do.
I'm smiling because the next question is, I've got to ask you about England squad and just Nat Metcalf's ability to lead on court. Isn't she great?
yeah, love her. Like, you know, like, in all honesty, what an honour for her to be named captain leading into this. I feel like she's just this unsung hero. You usually see the wing defence on the court being the unsung hero, but I think Nat Metcalf, if you've followed her journey like I have, what she did at the Swiss, while she may not have got the court time she desired, when she got it, she was impeccable, right? And I think won them games they probably shouldn't have won at times, or, you know, and in finals, et cetera, et cetera. To see her now step up and lead England at home for such a humble and delightful person is, like, I think it's great. I think she's frightening on the court. I think she's a double threat, obviously, with her goal attack and her wing attack game. But, yeah, look, you know, what can England deliver? Fascinating as far as I'm concerned. I keep going to this point that goes, does all the pressure fall on English shoulders similar to the way things unfolded in 2018 for the Diamonds, or are England going to be the better for it in front of their home crowd, and will the Diamonds be the one that struggle? So, you know, I reckon it's interesting. I am picking an England-Australian Diamonds gold medal match. I think that's how things will unfold. But I'm not a betting person just yet. I want to see how they kind of travel through the first few rounds, and then start to get a feel. Yeah. Hard to call it just yet.
Diamond strengths, though. I mean, we've even got people like Gretz and Donnell in that side, and just how they've worked over the season. And then when you add the rest of the squad into the mix, Diamond squad.
Yeah, 100%. I was really impressed with, look, you know, I mean, there was such, I guess, would I say crit? No, it wasn't criticism. There was a lot of talk around the announcement of the Australian Diamonds. And at the time I thought this is simply because there was so many possible options that could have gone into the team, which is hugely flattering for the depth of talent in our country, right? But at the same time, I think when I saw the team, I don't know that it would have been the team that I chose, but I wasn't disappointed with the team, because I think the key thing now in the modern day game of netball is versatility. And you can't have the one position player through your team anymore. And when you look at the Diamonds, there isn't a player in that team that is one positional. And I think that's going to be the great strength of the Diamonds. And whilst, you know, everyone would say, oh, you know, we would have loved a big, tall, you know, Donnell only goes over as a training partner and unless something happens. But when I look at the goaling end for the Diamonds, I'm really excited by its versatility. You know, it can have a small moving circle. It can have a small shooter with a tall goal attack. Gretel can go back in and be that post-up goal shooter. Kara Konen's proven how good she can be out at goal attack in the latter part of this SSN season with the Sunshine Coast Lightning, and her defensive game is enormous. So Kira Austin, you know, played in a grand final over here after coming back off an ACL, and I think she'll only get better come Commonwealth Games. So I'm really excited by the Diamonds because of its versatility, and I genuinely think that that brings a blessing to a coach, particularly in a major tournament where you're going back-to-back.
As long as you don't come here and nick it by one this time around, it's going to be much more comfortable this time.
I tell you what, they are the best games to call. But after recently being on a West Coast Fever bench and having the win kind of sewed up a little bit earlier, I much prefer that from a coaching perspective or a fan perspective. But as a commentator, there's nothing better than calling a one-goal game or that comeback moment. So I know what I'll be asking for as a commentator, but as a fan, I'd prefer a decent win by the Diamonds.
I'm sure you'll enjoy it even at 2 o'clock in the morning local time.
Yeah, yes, I have received my schedule and I tried to ignore that. I thought I'll just get through the week. I was quite horrified. We'll call the bronze medal game, which our time over in Sydney will be 11:30 p.m. and then we'll head into the gold game at 5:30 in the morning, God forbid. So, but anyhow, you know what? You stay awake for those exciting moments. I'll have no problem at all getting up and being about for a gold medal game at a Commonwealth Games.
You wouldn't have it any other way. So thank you again for the insight.
Absolutely, Annie. Anytime. Lovely to chat with you once again.
The Netball Show is now also available via Sky HD, Sky Q and Sky Glass. Select sport and we're on the podcast's rail.